The spirit today is that man, come to me. Surrender it to me. Yeah. How do we love God? We love Him everything we say and that we do. We love Him when we don't get offended, what Daryl just said. Okay? Or, man, I was going to Walmart shopping and Joe was there and he took the last pound of bananas. We think he is. See what I'm saying? Or someone just took my parking. But those are minor things. But we get offended so quick, and we have to stop that. All it does is take you down the dumps. Somebody can say something to you today, oh, I'm offended. You go home on this Sunday afternoon, worship the Lord, and sit there, and you will pout all day long because you've been offended. And like I said at the beginning, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Live the life today. But live it for the Lord, and just let Him take all the burdens away from you. Sure, we got things coming down this week. We got appointment books and stuff, and some we got doctor appointments, some we got to pay taxes, we got all kinds of stuff. So, God's going to be there. Follow Him, boom. And if you got things coming your way this week because you wasn't following Him, that's okay. Follow Him and let Him bring you through it. And we get born again, but there's still sometimes things in our past we have to take care of. It's like today. I can start a diet today, but I got some cheesecakes I got to take care of in my past. But as I follow my diet, I'll be reduced. Amen? But man, it's having that relationship with, to be in love with Jesus. And you are not offended by people that way. Your heart will break for more people because they're walking more in the darkness instead of the light. And you know they just don't know yet. They're walking somewhere where we were at one time. And you hear some of them here today, you're looking for something. Like, man, there's got to be something better in this life than what I got. And you're right. And that's Jesus. I mean, as you submit your life to Him, He comes and lives inside of you. Can you imagine that? You're the temple of the Holy Spirit when you're born again. And if He's living inside of you, you're never going to be alone. And He brings His wisdom, His guidance, His strength, all that into your life. If you ever sat at home before and lonely and no one to talk to, then you realize when you're born again, yeah, Jesus. Hey, Lord, what are you doing tonight? Oh, I'm hanging out with you, Stark. What do you think? I had any better offers. Okay, Lord. Man, it's awesome. Hey, so what's going on, Lord? And He'll talk to you. Hey, your neighbor's across the street. You better pray for them. You know, He'll speak to you and guide you the way He wants you to do. Amen? Because you are His hands and His feet. You're His vocal cords. Man, I think He entrusts that with us. With you. So the question would be, how are we using our vocal cords? Are we using them to bring Him glory? Or do we use our vocal cords to tear other people down? Do we use it, do we gossip about people? Don't answer that, please. But see, truly, we recognize who you are. You know, we're going to go back in the garden a little bit this morning. We're going back in the Garden of Eden. So get your boots on and stuff. It might be snakes in there, I heard. So, but we're going to look at the Word of God. And hopefully, if I can say it correctly, it will encourage you and make you look at yourself more. And wow, say, thank you, Lord. And if I don't say it right, we still got dinner afterwards. Okay? Amen. We'll go back and we'll be in Genesis today. Several different scriptures I have today. And no, I'm not texting. I got a Bible on my phone. You want hot salsa, honey? I'm gonna order. Oh, wait, no. But we look in Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2. We'll be jumping around in chapter 3 for a moment. But when we look at the first thing here, it says that that God formed man, this is verse 7 of chapter 2, then I'll be going back to 1, okay? Then God formed man of the dust from the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. Man, the Spirit of God came in us, and Adam. In fact, he even says in back in Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image. according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creepy thing that creeps on the earth. That we'll give them dominion, mankind. And we know that God created Adam, and it says in Genesis 2:8, see, I'm going back and forth. Those who got digital, you're hanging in there, aren't you? Those who got real Bible, you gave up already, I know. It says in Genesis 2:8, the Lord God planted a garden towards the east in Eden, and there he placed a man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Then Genesis 2:15 says, then the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. So, we think, right, first of all, we're talking about Adam, but also we're talking about you. If your name is Vicky, Fernando, if your name is Paul, whatever your name is, it's the same thing. See, God made man and put him into the garden to subdue it, right? Give him dominion over it. Okay, here we are today. God has made you, and he has placed you here in this big expansion garden and give you the same charge. Go and subdue. Amen? And the same thing goes to you. Hey, listen, eat from the tree of life. What's the tree of life? Many of you are holding your laps right now. That's the word of God. But he said, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why? Because the moment you do, you shall surely die. Otherwise, evil is already in the world. You think, well, why would God plant both trees in the garden? Was he testing us? Was he just want to get at us? Yeah. And I had a lot of questions about this. I shared this a couple of weeks ago, and awesome. A lot of folks have questions about this, so we're here to answer that question. I hope, okay? But you got to realize that before God made man, before he formed this and put him in the garden, something had happened on the earth a lot earlier. Anybody heard of a guy named Lucifer? An angel? Okay. He was cast down from heaven. You remember that? Well, let's just jump into the scripture. We'll see a couple of places here. Ezekiel 28:11. As you turn there, I'll read also Luke 10:18. Luke 10:18 and then Ezekiel 28:11 where I'll be starting at. And Jesus is speaking in Luke 18. He says, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. So that means that Satan and Lucifer was once in heaven, but Jesus watched him fall like lightning. Where did he fall to? Where did he go? Well, I'm glad you asked me that. Ezekiel 28:11, it says, again the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre, and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The ruby, the tazpa, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper. Man, some of these are weird. The lapis. Help me out there, Carol. The lula, the turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold. I've got that one. The workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed cherub who covers. And I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. He's talking about Lucifer. He created him. He would be the angel that was in charge of praise and worship. He was beautiful. I mean, think of this. We think about Satan. He's ugly. And he's got a pointed tail and pointed ears, stuff like that. That's a cartoon character, okay? You got to realize that he was beautiful when God created him. And he was placed in charge of the praise and worship, they say. And he was in charge of music. Man, it'd be like a walking... what's that thing I like so well? The lunch... Well, what was that thing he plays? Accordion. Because look how many different noises the accordion makes. Different buttons. Well, he was in charge of all that. I mean, wow. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence and you sin. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God, and I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you. By the multitude of your iniquities and the unrighteousness of your trade, you profane your sanctuaries. Therefore I have brought fire from the midst of you. It has consumed you. And I have turned you to ashes on the earth in the eyes of all who see you. All who know you among the people are applauding at you. You have become terrified and you will cease to be forever. So he's saying he saw Satan was in heaven and he got cast down. Pride came up in him. I mean, he's hanging out with God. Now, if you remember Lucifer, when he hits the ground, he's Satan. He's an angel. He is not a God. Understand? An angel. That's it. There's no one compared to Yahweh, God, Jehovah. Nobody. Satan is nothing. In fact, God did not cast him out. An angel threw him out. God, when he lifts a finger up to throw him out. But somehow we get in our head that, man, this Satan's got the same power God has. You know, that boy, no. The greatest power Satan has is the power of suggestion. You know that? He knows what God says to do, not do. And he'll suggest to you to do the opposite. And what will happen then, it'll fall in your sinful nature that we're born in, and we fall into sin. And a lot of times we blame Satan. Oh, Satan's after me today. No, he's not. I mean, yes, he's tempting you. But don't blame Satan for your own fallings. You know, realize, I got to be stronger. I got to be stronger. But see, what happened, Satan was in heaven. He was cast down. Him and the figure about a third of the angels. And how many of that means? I don't know. There's got to be millions of them. To the earth. Boom. Now, have you ever heard of the gap theory? Okay, a gap theory. Okay, have you heard about the dinosaurs theories? Okay, it appears, and if you read the scriptures and stuff, and even our scientists, you come across fossils of dinosaurs, and they still had food in the mouth. People say, well, they drowned. They drowned in the big flood. Well, I'll tell you, I love to eat, but if I'm drowning, I'm going to spit my food out and try to breathe. Okay, so it shows us something has impacted the earth so greatly, boom. I believe it wiped out the dinosaurs and all that. I believe that's what happened to the earth. Can you imagine, you ever hear a sonic boom? Some of us older folks remember hearing them anymore. I don't know if they still boom anymore or not. But it's one jet going at the speed of sound. Boom! Sometimes you shake your windows. Can you imagine an angel, let's say 10 million angels, cast down from heaven at the speed of light, boom! Can you imagine the impact that would have on the earth? Again, this is a theory. This is what they're saying, because if you read the scripture, a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like a day. I believe that's what took place. When Satan was cast down, this earth, boom, went to ugly town, big time. Now, I believe what happened, God says he planted a garden, right? So, in this ugly world that we had, because Satan came down to it, he planted this garden, the Garden of Eden. Then he made mankind and put him in charge of it. And give him some warnings. Right? And I believe if man would continue to follow God and his wisdom and his warning, that garden would continue to grow and grow and grow until the whole earth was covered like a Garden of Eden. That's what I believe. I mean, and if you say, well, I don't believe that way, I'm not going to argue with you. It has nothing to do with my salvation. Amen? But I believe that's what takes place. I mean, it'd be like crabgrass. You know, you yell at that, how quickly it goes. onions in a wheat field. I mean, this is all that stuff just takes off. So it wasn't that God was trying to trick people. Evil is already here. When Satan was cast down, he sits to the ground, boom, he's here. He's occupying the earth. So God built this awesome garden. I mean, I can imagine the fruit and stuff, all my lands. And gives a warning. He basically is saying, hey, listen, there's already evil in the world. Yeah, there's a fallen devil here. Now, he don't say that way, but that's what he's talking about. I'm putting in charge of it. You follow me. Listen to my word. The tree of life, he calls it. Eat from it. Same thing you get in your hand. If you got a Bible in your hand right now, you have a version of the tree of life. As you consume this word, not as you read it, but consume it and follow it. Oh, man. But he warned them. They listen. Do not participate in evil. Hey, listen. The devil's already here. Hey, don't pay no attention to him. Even for your life. Because, man, if you listen to evil, if you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, then you're going to die. But follow me. I mean, he already breathed his breath into Adam. And he gave him authority. He says, man, listen. Do not. You're in charge of the garden. You ready to catch my teeth? They pop out once in a while. You're in charge of the garden. Adam. Eat from the tree of life. Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because the minute you do, you shall surely die. Ah. Adam looks kind of lonely. Going to create him a helpmate. They brought all the animals around them. Ah. Finally, God said, I'm going to make him a woman. And he called Adam to fall asleep, took one of the ribs out, and fashioned a woman to be his helpmate. Now, let's jump back into Genesis 3:1. Okay? Everybody follow me so far? Anybody confused yet? If you are, I'll explain it. Gail, you confused? Oh, okay. There's nothing wrong with being confused. I'm here to explain things if you understand them. Now, in Genesis 3:1, he says, now the serpent was more craftier than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said ye shall not eat from the of any tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. And the serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight in the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Wow. Can I borrow you, Daryl? I need a double up here. Well, I borrowed the other day, I think. Here, I want you to hang on that second, okay? Anybody feel like being Eve? All right, Penny, come on down. Dun, 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 dun. Taking Adam back here, Ryan. I know he's hiding from me, but I know. Yeah. Okay. Now, yeah, right. Now, this is what's going on. We got this tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. We're dead there. Okay. We know we're not supposed to eat from it. He's in charge of the garden. And he has been telling Eve for how long this has taken place. Hey, listen, man. Cherry trees over there. Plums over there. We even got some peach trees and stuff. It's fantastic. Make me some pies later on, okay? But listen, God said, do not eat from that tree. Because the minute you eat from that tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall die. Okay? Now, Adam's in charge of the garden, right? I don't know if there's an argument between women living, that kind of stuff. God placed him in charge of the garden, gave him a helpmate, awesome, to become one, but he's in charge of it. So one day, here comes Satan wanting to get back at us because he's cast down from heaven. He's headed to hell one of these days. I'll grab to these people that God gave authority on earth. God is running things here until God made you guys. So I'm going to tempt him. So Satan brings this fruit of the tree, we'll say, over. So look at that. Look, that's really... take a bite. And they run right over here. There. So, now grab that. Take that second. Boom. Now, listen. She just touched the fruit of the fruit tree of knowledge of good and evil. She just sinned. Right? No, she did not. No. See, well, what happened, she doesn't understand the scriptures. It says, you shall not eat from it or touch it or you will die. Now, God never said that. God never said not to touch it. He said, do not eat from it. Okay? Touching it makes you fall into more of temptation, I would say. Like many sins out there right now, you know, we don't get ourselves involved in the sin, but we get, how close can we get to without sinning, right? And when you do that, you just sin. If your heart desire, I mean, how close can I get to this? Then you just sin. But in her mind, when she touches that, she's thinking, well, I already sinned. The servant said to the woman, you surely will not die, for God knows that the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight in the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise. She took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. So here he is. This is the guy in charge of the garden. He's in charge of, now his wife now has got a hold of the fruit. She hasn't sinned yet. But here he is. He should say, wait, what? Leave that alone. We're surely going to die. He's in charge of it. He didn't do that. He sinned. You were deceived because you're thinking you can't touch it. You're thinking you can't touch it or die. So, well, I've already sinned. I'm not going to eat it. One way of thinking, all right? Now, the Bible says, Jesus says later on in life, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery. But he says, if you even lust after a woman you have, amen? See what's going on? So if you're thinking about lusting after somebody, you've already sinned. He had never told her not to touch it. So not to eat from it. And here's Adam standing in charge of the garden, in charge of the whole human race at this point. He didn't intercede. He said, okay, put it down, woman. He sinned. And then they ate from the fruit. And here we are today. Just think, Adam, if you would have said, put that down, man. You know?
You're in charge. Yeah.
But that's a whole thing there. And so when we step back a little bit farther, each one of us now, each one of us have been planted in this garden. And it's called Earth. It's called America, okay? But each one of us has been given the same charge. Okay? Is that do not eat from the fruit of evil. Because you're surely you will die. You know, we have the breath of God into us now. If you're born again, that authority, that dominion has been given back to you. It's all right, now listen, subdue the earth. Whatever you allow will be allowed. What you don't want to allow won't be allowed. We can't blame this or that or everybody else. We have to blame ourselves because we have not been doing what God called us to do. Amen? But we're waking up to the fact, wow, thank you, God. So the born-again Christian, that Spirit of God lives in you. And you have the same thing. You have the same subdue. But stay away from evil. Think of that. You're placed there. You're not on a vacation right now. Okay? You're not kicked back. Oh, you're on the front lines. We are the only thing holding back the evil one from taking over everything. We are. A day will come, we'll be taken out of here. God will take his church home. For those who follow him, those who are standing on the front lines, those who intercede and praying, they're not in my house, you know. Not in my house, amen. You realize that if I come to your house and I bring something in, let's I'll be your kid for a second, okay? Hey, Dad. Look at this. I got this new Ouija board. Oh, man. I got this Harry Potter board. Oh, my. I've got these crystals. Oh, my. I got these stones. Oh, my. Hey, I got some happy stuff. Oh, my. And you got a potato. Okay. But as I bring this in, being deceived, being like, oh, you know, I've heard a lot of Christians used to play Ouija board back in the day. My wife did. It was the church had no idea. It was bringing witchcraft into the church and they didn't recognize it. But when I bring this into my house, when I bring it into his house, he's my dad, I'm the kid, he looks at that, he has a decoration from God, get it out. I'm being deceived thinking it's okay. He's not. He knows better. He knows that is not of God. He is under conviction by the Lord to get it out of my house. Not in my house. Get it out of here. I haven't sinned yet. I didn't know. If he allowed me to have it, he just sinned, and I'm going to send him after him because I'm going to do it. See, guys? See, your responsibility for your house is a lot greater than what you think it is. It is. You're in charge of that. God placed you there if you're the head of the household. Amen? And we have to take that authority. No matter how bad people are going to yell at you, when your kids won't talk to you anymore, they just slam that door, your grandkids won't talk to you, oh buddy-duddy, it's worth it. It's worth it. Rescue their souls from hell. We have to take that stand. You might be the grandparents that they hate. They're going to hate you, I pray, because of Jesus. And there someday they'll come to love you. Your kids and grandkids right now, because you're taking a stand for Jesus, might despise you. They say all type of ugly things to you. They break your heart. But tell you what, it's a spirit behind them that's doing it. And you are the hope that they have, but they don't know it. And that's the hope of Jesus lives in you. You might not see their salvation before the Master comes. But this seed that you're planting, that you're standing up for them, and they missed the rapture, and they're in this 7 years of hell on this earth, your words are going to come back to them. I truly believe they're called upon the Lord based upon your testimony and the way you live your life. It's all worth it. But folks, we are not on vacation. We're not on a picnic. We're on the front line in the middle of a battle between heaven and hell. Between salvation and lost loved ones. And it's going to get uglier. But he has placed you here. And we look at Adam. What happened? Man, he's got God in him. Then you're made in his image also. As a helpmate. Not degrading you as a woman. As a helpmate. He's in charge of it. Oh my. To become one. Adam dropped the ball. But thank God that he's merciful. Because he sent Jesus to restore us. Now we're getting toward the end. Adam was at the beginning. And Eve. You guys are old. No. But here we are. You and I. Planted in this garden. I truly believe at the end of the church age. I don't think there's another decade to go yet. I believe from the scriptures you read. We talk about the Israel being rebirthed in 48. That generation won't pass away. I believe that we are planted here for a purpose. And I'm telling you what, it's going to get greater and greater inside the church, inside the body of Christ. As you continue to draw closer to the Master and casting out the things around you, you're going to see things, you're going to see your prayers multiplying, answering just like this. Because God wants that. Yeah, as he has authority to throw the devil out of there, get out. Where was Satan who went when he couldn't tempt mankind? It won't be around them. With Christ Jesus as our Savior and Lord, all that authority that God gave Adam is back in us. Well, the devil's still fighting. Demons still out there. Fallen angels are still out there. But they're fallen angels. They're not God. The Spirit of the living God lives in us. And that's strength. I mean, if you want it, you got it. You know? We'll claim it, walk that way, you know? If you want it, I mean, I'm telling you, it's total commitment to Him. You know, so we talked about love earlier. I think Brother Rick says something, there's a tear in his eye or something right now, how much he loves us and stuff. And how much we love Him is allowing these things, the same thing that come against Jesus, they come against us and still love people. You know, not to be offended. Take your own of whatever you want to call it and throw it out the window. But I get tired when I hear that this Christian ain't talking to this Christian here because all they did this, they did that, did that. I'm tired of hearing people sitting around complaining about everything. That's just me. I can imagine how God is. Give them to you the authority of heaven. Give me the written word, the blood of Jesus, and we sit around and we complain about stuff that you can change through prayer. Yeah, times are tough. But man, when I hear somebody complain, I keep listening, okay. Yeah, I understand. And complaining isn't bad. I mean, if you go to a mechanic, you have to tell him what's wrong with the car, right? If you go to the doctor, you got to tell him what's wrong, okay? If you got an issue in your life, you got to tell him what's going on. But to take it, lay it there, and I say, hey, wait, what does the Word of God say? He said, you have what you say. What does He say about my body? What does He say about my finances? What does He say about my kids? Scripture, man. Getting that Word of God and standing on that. Satan tried to convince you that your kids are gone. Because why does he tell you that? Because he don't want you to pray. He don't want you to, because he knows you whooping him. But we have to understand the power of the spoken word and the Word of God and the authority given to us. And this is going to, I mean, again, it's going to multiply and multiply what God wants to do through us. And this garden that He put you and I in charge of right now. Wow, that's an awesome thing. Oh, Satan, you got to eat the potato. Cause you, didn't, you guys have a seat, thank you. Cut it and fry it up. That could be a lady, I know. But again, he's just saying that we look at Adam and Eve and we think, man, if they would have done things differently. And we, all, every one of us here can say, I wish we'd done things differently before I got born again, right? Every one of us. Wow. But now we do things differently now because of the Spirit of the living God. We're thinking differently. We're acting differently. Well, Pastor, but I still sin, okay? If you're still sinning a sin over and over again, then you need delivered. If you wrap your arm around a sin, say, I know I shouldn't do this, I'm doing it. There's an issue going on there because chances are you're not born again. You have a knowledge of God, but you don't have the surrender to Him. And we need to talk and pray. You get set free, amen? Now you're going to sin tomorrow? Listen, understand, our desire is never ever to sin. But we do. I've testified many times, getting kicked by a cow, I cussed. Ooh. Yeah, and same thing. You got things that it slips up. It comes out of your mouth. Where was that at? Well, it's my new spirit living in this old body. But the minute that you do sin, you're convicted that quick, ain't you? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, forgive me. Yeah, come on, Stargate. Come on. Just keep on going. Not giving up on that part of it. Amen. Amen. I'll finish up next week, but one thing that Jesus told a lot of folks when He would heal them, He said, man, remember the lady who was caught in adultery? They were going to stone her to death. They were going to kill her. And we always talk about, where's the guy at? I mean, my understanding, it takes two to commit adultery. So they got her set up, man. And they're trying to set Jesus up. And He said, a simple thing, those without sin cast the first stone, otherwise condemn her to death. Of course, they all threw the stones away, they walked away, because we've all sinned, right? We are never to condemn and say it's over with, but we are to tell the truth. Amen? But then Jesus looked at her and she says, hey, where are your accusers at? Well, I don't see them anywhere. Well, I don't accuse you either. Go. But what's the key word? And sin no more. I truly believe that woman never committed adultery again. That close to death. Knowing that you're getting ready to feel the rocks coming in against her head. Think, oh man, yeah. Whew, man. And also the gentleman who was laying out by the pool of Bethesda. Remember Jesus healed him on a Sabbath? He went into the synagogue carrying his mat. And they're ready to kill him. Like, what were you doing? Man, there's this dude outside. I don't know who he is, but he told me to stand up and take my mat, and here I am. Wow. And they tried to figure out that, well, he really wasn't sick. He was just laying there for 38 years. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But then the master caught up with him later. He said, hey, listen. Listen. Go. But sin no more. Because something worse might come upon you. Think of that. Now we live in a world today that there's a lot of sickness and disease out there because this planet is going down. But at the same time, as Jesus, or God said back in the garden, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Stay away from evil. You shall surely die. Meaning, sin still has the same bite in our life. Amen? Redeemed by the blood of Jesus. But man, if we're allowing sin to occupy our life, it is degrading us. It's taking apart what God wants us to do and be victorious. It's like having medicine in your cabinet at home there, Daryl. Doctor gives it to you, he says, take these 3 times a day. And you take it once a day. Well, the other 2 times, it's like sinning. You know what I'm saying? We just got to turn our back on the things of this world. Of the ugliness of the world and the temptations. Come together as one. Worship Him like He did this morning. Encourage one another. And if you fall down, we're going to get you back up again, right? And not giving up. In charge of the garden. Amen. Well, Father, we thank You so much for the gathering this morning. We thank You for Your Word, Father. May that Word encourage us, God. May we realize who we are. That You place us here for a purpose. And You give us authority through the blood in the name of Jesus. And Your Spirit lives within us. So God, just guide us this week. Show us how we can serve You by sharing and serving other people, Lord. We thank You again for all that You've done for us, Lord Jesus. We continue to lift over our children's children. We speak a covering of protection over them, Father. We know Your angels have been dispatched around them to seek and protect. And we bind that unclean spirits that come against our children, our children's children. We bind the name of Jesus. And God, that while that spirit is bound, that You will send workers across their path, workers that they'll listen to, and they'll come out of darkness into the light. And God, we ask You to do the same for us. Use us to bring other people's children or children past our path, that we may share the gospel, and they'll come out of darkness into the light. And God, all this is for Your glory. And may the good Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may He turn His face toward you and give you peace. And may the blessings of Abraham rest upon you, your household, and upon all the generation who's coming after you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome.